We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of Arizona Wildcats football. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment, or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, they have the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glenn and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Justin Spears here with Michael Lev. We're getting y'all ready for the Arizona-Colorado game up in Boulder. It should be a fun one. Before we talk U of A football and preview this game along with our Pac-12 picks for the week, make sure you download the Wildcaster app. It's free. It's available on the App Store and Google Play. And you can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. And also check out Arizona Daily Star content on Wildcats football at Tucson.com. Lev, we are without Ryan Finley today. So it is just you and I once again talking U of A football, getting ready for Colorado. Now that we are here at this point in the season, you know, Arizona, they're 3-1. They just came off a pretty decent win over UCLA, based off of what the defense shown, only giving up 17 points to UCLA, and then the week prior, only giving up 14 to Texas Tech. But everybody wants to know about the quarterbacks. Is it going to be Grant Gunnell? Is it going to be Khalil Tate? Lev, where do you stand on the Arizona Wildcats heading into this game Saturday night?
We are without Ryan Finley. Will we be without Khalil Tate on Saturday? I'm not sure.
So you're saying Finley's the Khalil Tate?
I'm not saying that. No, not at all. This game is really hard to predict because there are so many injuries, not even limited to Arizona. You know, is Laviska Shenault going to play for Colorado? And if so, how much? My understanding is that the Buffaloes are going to be down three defensive starters for this game for a defense that's already in the bottom three in just about every major category defensively in the Pac-12. It's just really hard to get a gauge on what's going to happen Saturday. And it's a very significant game for both teams because the winner will have sole possession of first place in the Pac-12 South. Neither team predicted to really be in contention for that, and it's a long season and who knows what's going to happen, but it's a nice place to be, 2-0. Also have the tiebreaker over the other.
And where were both teams ranked at the start of the season? What was the media poll for both of them?
I believe that Arizona was picked 5th and Colorado 6th.
Wow.
I want to say. Yeah.
And look at that.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, it's very early. You know, Arizona has not really gotten into the teeth of the schedule. That's coming. Washington next week, and then USC on the road, Stanford on the road, Oregon still to come, Utah still to come. We've talked about this since Saturday night. We talked about it Monday, and the fascinating thing about this quarterback situation for them is it's just two totally different offenses, you know, and Colorado is preparing accordingly. You know, one version is Grant Gunnell being a pocket passer and distributing the ball and a lot of short passes and crossing routes and getting out of his hands as quickly as possible. And the other is Khalil Tate, zone reads, the possibility of quarterback runs, him extending plays. So it's a challenge for the Buffaloes to figure out what's going to happen. And, you know, we'll all find out probably in an hour or so before kickoff, you know, whether Khalil Tate is dressed and how he looks and all of those things. I don't know. I don't know. If I had to lean, like, I'd say 51% Khalil right now and 49% Gunnell would be my prediction. And I also think I think there's a very good chance J.J. Taylor is going to be back too, and we can get into why I think that's important a little later.
More so J.J. Taylor, I would predict him coming back, that's a higher chance than Khalil Tate, I would say, just because J.J. Taylor actually dressed out. He was in pads.
Yeah.
against UCLA where Khalil Tate, he was just in sweatpants and a jacket and a hat, really wasn't doing much. But it wasn't like Khalil Tate was completely hobbled. I mean, we saw him during pre-games and he was, you know, throwing some pretty deep passes.
Yeah, he was playing catch with what looked like maybe a team manager, and Khalil was standing around the goal line and the manager was standing around the 50. So if he can throw the ball that far, you know, he probably doesn't have that bad of a hamstring injury. The problem with hamstring injuries, though, is it can be, quote unquote, not that bad. And then you try to pull away from a defender and it becomes worse. That's the concern. So I'm sure they're going through that entire process this week and testing him out, asking him how he feels, you know, probably asking him to run maybe a little bit more than he normally would just to see what happens when he really opens things up. I think it's also possible that both of them will play. We saw last year, remember, when Khalil was kind of hobbled, that Jamari Joyner got some series in a couple of games, which didn't make a ton of sense to me in the sense that they're similar style players, and if you're going to throw a changeup at the opponent, you want to go with someone who's got a different style. Well, Grant Gunnell certainly has a different style. Of course, once you start going down that road, then you get into the whole issue of the red shirt.
Yeah, count, I was just about to bring that up.
Like, he's played two games. You know, I think the ideal set of circumstances for this team is that Khalil remains healthy for the rest of the season. Grant Gunnell makes up to, but no more than, two more appearances, whether off the bench or whatever, and preserves his red shirt year heading into 2020.
Yeah, because I think if Khalil Tate is healthy, I mean, you'd want to have Grant Gunnell redshirt this season. If Khalil Tate's healthy and he's ready to go, you don't want to see a situation where Grant Gunnell gets in the game. And now looking back at the NEU game, do you think Arizona's kind of kicking themselves? If Grant does in fact play two more games and they can use him for another game, and let's just say he gets over to five games, does Arizona kick themselves?
I'm going to say no, because you don't know how important that experience was for him heading into the UCLA game. You know, he got his feet wet. He got to play.
Look good too.
The first game jitters out against NAU, and I think that helped him. Maybe they'll win that game against UCLA if he doesn't have that prior experience. It's impossible to say that, but and it's also, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? So sure, if you are just looking at it through the lens of the redshirt rule and the number of games that he's played, maybe it didn't make sense, but I think it was more helpful for him and for them in the long run being the UCLA game, that he got to play against NAU.
Lev, what do you think about Arizona and what they've shown to you over the last two games? Because, you know, I had a chance to talk to J.B. Brown during player availability and also Scotty Young Jr., and I asked them, just like you guys have asked other players over the last couple of weeks, did you guys feel like you were playing for Marcell Yates? After seeing a lot of reaction out of fans and other people on social media about the way the defense has been ran under Marcell Yates, are you guys playing for him? And J.B. Brown said, yeah, we saw everything on social media. We saw all the hate from Marcell Yates, and we wanted to come out and play for Coach. And they were playing with a little bit more of a chip on their shoulder because they wanted to play for their guy, a guy that recruited all these players for the most part, because he's now going on year four. So probably all of the players on Arizona's defense, they were recruited by Marcell Yates at some point in time. So these are all Marcell Yates and his guys, and they all wanted to come out and prove that Marcell Yates is in fact a good defensive coordinator and defensive coordinator for the future. And they showed that against Texas Tech, only giving up 14 points, and then UCLA only giving up 17 points. When you look at the games prior to Arizona playing those teams, how much did Texas Tech score in the previous game before playing Arizona? Pretty sure it was at least 40 points.
Yeah, I think they were averaging somewhere around 40 coming into that game.
And then UCLA, they scored 67 on Washington State. Mm-hmm. You only give up 17. What have you seen out of Arizona's defense over the last two weeks?
Well, I think there's definitely something to what you're saying about them wanting to play hard for Marcell. But the thing that stood out to me when you just look at the last two games kind of as a whole is that there's a certain grittiness that this team has. That it really hasn't shown on a consistent basis, maybe since I've been here. You know, the first game I covered was the last game of the 2015 season. And you could make a case, especially on the road, that Arizona's been kind of you know, I hate to put it this way, but mentally weak. You know, there's been a lot of situations where they haven't come out ready to play. They've fallen behind early and they've just totally collapsed. And I think the thing that gives me the most encouragement about this upcoming game is that this team seems to have a little bit more mental fortitude, like, maybe a little bit more character. And maybe that's just through maturity. You know, a lot, you know, Kevin Sumlin was talking about how few seniors they have, on either side of the ball, but they have a lot of juniors, a lot of guys who've played a lot of football. So this experience shouldn't be new to any of them, unless Grant Gunnell ends up starting at quarterback. And, you know, it gives me a little bit of hope despite what, you know, recent history shows, which is that when you go on the road and you're Arizona, you're not going to win.
Even weird situations like UCLA, when a team is about to make a game-winning field goal, icing the kicker. Lev, I've watched enough Arizona football games to understand Arizona loses games like that. When I seriously thought UCLA was going to make that field goal after Kevin Sumlin iced the kicker. They normally lose games like that. I'm serious. I've seen a lot of U of A games where special teams comes down and it bites Arizona in the butt. But it didn't happen this time. Kevin Sumlin made the right call. He iced the kicker. But going back to your point about this team being mentally stronger, especially in the second half, was it the last two games? They've outscored their opponents 22-0. And that's a part of your latest edition of Cat Stats on Tucson.com and the Wildcaster app. Arizona, as soon as that fourth quarter starts, there's just a switch about them. And also kudos to Grant Gunnell too, because you have to think, yeah, you outscore an opponent 22-0. You got to put some points on the board in order to do that. For Grant Gunnell to be in the fourth quarter as a true freshman trailing, for him to come out and have a performance like that, even the younger guys, a guy like a Grant Gunnell who's a true freshman, this team just is just different about their thinking.
Two young guys hooked up on the biggest play of the game, a freshman and a redshirt freshman. You know, that pass from Gunnell to Bam Smith.
That's right.
You could say that the touchdown was the play of the game, but I think that that pass from the 9 yard line or wherever it was on 7 yard line, 3rd and 9. You're in a one score game in the fourth quarter and freshman hooks up with the redshirt freshman, a back shoulder throw.
Both from Texas.
To the sideline, couple Texans, right? Yeah, they definitely showed me something the last two games in the fourth quarter. It's, as I mentioned in the piece, it's easy to forget they were trailing in both of those games. It's easy to forget because we just sort of look at the final outcome. You know, and there wasn't a ton of lead changes, but they were trailing both times.
Yeah.
Heading into the fourth, and they took the lead and they held the lead. And I think that's a really good sign for the maturity, of this team and of this program.
What do you think about the running back group? Because JJ Taylor misses last week. And the big question was, okay, who's going to emerge? We all know Gary Brightwell is going to be the starting running back. Okay, who's going to be the next guy up? Is it going to be Wiley? Is it going to be Tilford? Is it going to be Bam Smith? And not only was it Bam Smith, but he got it done with his hands. He got it done through the passing game. He had 5 catches for 99 yards. This running back group, it's pretty special for Arizona. And I think it's their bread and butter. And I don't know about you, Michael Lev, but I expect them to run the ball a whole lot more against Colorado, considering Colorado's a little bit banged up on that side of the ball.
I agree. I think that they have great depth at the position, of course, which we've mentioned many times. They have a lot of guys who can step in and get the job done. But I also think it's important to have JJ Taylor for this game because there's going to be crowd noise. It's going to be chaotic. And you want to have a veteran back there who knows what he's doing, who can sort of be a calming influence on the quarterback, who knows where the pressure is coming from and can pick up a blitz. We talked about it on Monday's podcast. I think that's maybe the one area where JJ separates himself from all the others, the blitz pickup, and it's important. I think whether it's Khalil Tate or Grant Gunnell, either one of them would feel a little bit more comfortable having JJ, you know, by their side. Gary Brightwell, I think, is definitely number two on the pecking order. And then I think Bam Smith has to have a role. He's just too much of a playmaker. I got into a bit of a, you know, brief Twitter, beef with someone when when I said that, you know, Bam Smith doesn't have amazing speed, but he's, you know, playmaker, great instincts and all those things. And I will stand by that. I don't think if in a foot race, he might finish fifth, out of that group, but he has patience. He has vision. He has a really good feel for the game. And he obviously has really good hands as shown by that play that we discussed earlier. So I feel like he's going to have a role that those three guys, will be the ones. And I like the idea of running the ball to calm down the offense, quiet the crowd, make things as easy as possible on your quarterback, whether it's Khalil or whether it's Grant Gunnell.
Now, against UCLA, we didn't see a whole lot of running because Grant Gunnell, being a pocket passer, we saw more screens, quick slants, just quick passes to get the ball out of Grant Gunnell's hands. If he does play against Colorado and you have the noise factor and you have all the buzz around this game and him being a true freshman on the road, do you still stick to your game plan last week and get him to throw the ball and settle down more? Or do you have J.J. Taylor and the running backs run the ball effectively and then that can settle him down?
I mean, I would try to run the ball a little bit more than they did. I think in the second half they had better balance than in the first. What they did against UCLA was, you know, get up to the line as quickly as possible. Everyone gets a look at the defense and then get a check from the sideline. The question is, can they execute that as well with all the crowd noise and sort of just the frenetic atmosphere that is expected to be the case in Boulder on Saturday? It could be harder. It could be hard. The communication piece, as Kevin Sumlin says, it just could be harder to pull that off. So, you know, they'll probably see how it goes early. Like if the check system is working fine, I think they will continue to just count the number of players in the box, take a, you know, best guess at what look Colorado's showing them, and then adjust the play accordingly. And if it happens to be more passes, it happens to be more passes.
We'll talk more Arizona-Colorado in this Saturday's game with our Pac-12 pick'ems for the week. Lev, real quick, before we get into Pac-12 pick'ems, 2 years ago, when Arizona went down and faced Colorado, a guy by the name of Khalil Tate checked in the game, replacing an injured Brandon Dawkins at the time. And Khalil Tate then rushes for 327 yards, which is a single game FBS rushing record for a quarterback. Lev, I know our guy John Gold has an oral history that's going up on Tucson.com and in the Arizona Daily Star. But for a guy who was there and witnessed that live, I mean, I know we talked about it last year when Arizona faced Colorado, but now they're going back to Boulder. They're going back to the venue where it all happened. What do you remember about that game, Lev?
It was just amazing. You know, we'd all heard things about Khalil Tate. We'd seen his high school film. We knew, like, maybe what he was capable of, but to actually see it unfold against, a Division I opponent where he's just, like, far and away the best athlete on the field, and it's not even close. It was stunning. It was just one long run after another after another. It was sort of, you know, I don't recall exactly what I was tweeting during the game, but I feel like it was something like, you know, you guys are not going to believe this, but, you know, he did it again. And the play that honestly stands out to me the most was his last run of the game, which wasn't a touchdown. It was like a 31-yard run on third and something when they were trying to run out the clock. And he, like, ran through, like, half the Colorado defense got a piece of him. And he just kept going, kept trucking, completely determined to get that first down and end the game. And he did it. And I think that's what I led my game story with, you know, the fact that everyone in the stadium knew who was going to get the ball. And he got the ball, and he got the first down anyway. And it launched, you know, like an unprecedented month of success for one player in the Pac-12. Four consecutive Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week awards.
It's never been done.
You know, rushing for over 100 yards, over 200 yards. I mean, it was just wild. And obviously a lot has changed since then. You know, Rich Rodriguez ended up getting fired at the end of that season for a variety of reasons. And Khalil was banged up last year and didn't run nearly as much already. despite missing a game this year, he has more rushing yards this season than last season. And when he's been out there, he's looked like that player again. And it would really kind of suck, honestly, if he doesn't play Saturday, because it's a way more fun storyline for him to, you know, return to, you know, quote unquote, the scene of the crime and try to do it again.
The scene of the crime. I just remember, you know, watching it here in the office and thinking to myself, is this the official start? Is this the start of the Khalil Tate era? Because remember his first start against USC when he was a true freshman, a terrible game. I mean, USC, they had Sam Darnold, and that was their season when they went to the Rose Bowl. So USC was a pretty good team, but, you know, Khalil Tate was thrown in the fire. He played against a solid USC defense, and you could just tell he was young. He was only 17 years old. But then when he got his opportunity later on, a little bit more mature, he saw that this game was his absolute opportunity to prove himself as the next quarterback for the Arizona Wildcats. He took the opportunity and ran with it. And I talked to a lot of the players this week. Did you guys realize at that time that was the start of Khalil Tate? I said, absolutely. Ever since that game, we knew we got our guy. And he showed it in practice. He showed it in games. So, like you said, Lev, he's returning to the scene of the crime. Lev, let's go over Pac-12 football games for this week.
Yep.
No Friday night games, so no wackiness this week, but still an interesting slate of games. Before we talk Arizona-Colorado, let's first talk about Cal against Oregon on the road in Eugene. I kind of feel like Eugene or Oregon, they're going to put him out. Because what's the status with Garbers, with Brandon Garbers?
Out indefinitely.
So he's out indefinitely, so that means Devon Monster is going to be starting at quarterback, former U of A commit. I just don't see any way Cal winning this game.
I don't see it either. It's been a nice run for Cal. And I think it's unfortunately going to come to an end. They have to turn this into an ugly game, you know, where they're able to run the ball, maybe get some turnovers. Maybe Oregon's a little sloppy or they're, you know, not totally locked in as much as they need to be. You know, this game needs to be like in the teens or maybe the 20s for Colorado to have a chance. I don't see it happening. I'm not sure I would lay 18 points. That feels like a lot against a Cal team that generally does do a good job of keeping it close. I think the score will be something like what the Washington USC game was last week, 28-14.
Okay.
Ducks.
I didn't know this. Justin Herbert was apparently high on Nevada's radar in recruiting. I read a story. Somebody posted this on Twitter earlier this week. Brian Polian, you remember him? He was the former coach of the Nevada Wolfpack when they came down here and won the Arizona Bowl, the very first one.
Two-time winners of the Arizona Bowl, by the way.
But Polian only was there for the first one. He apparently was the first one to recruit Justin Herbert. He was like Justin Herbert. Nevada was Justin Herbert's first like big Division I offer. Even though it was a Group of Five team, when you get an offer from Nevada, it might turn some heads. And Polian and another coach, I believe it was offense coordinator or the quarterback's coach, went out of budget. They spent a little bit more extra money so they could fly to wherever Justin Herbert was.
Was it Nick Rolovich?
Nick Rolovich, that's exactly who it was.
I'm pretty sure Hawaii was interested in him as well after Rolovich left Nevada to become Hawaii's coach.
Yes, so it was Nick Rolovich and Polian. They flew out. They offered Justin Herbert a scholarship on the spot. And then Oregon caught wind of Nevada really wanting this kid. They offered Justin Herbert, and in less than a day, Justin Herbert was committed to the Ducks. It was just cool to see the story of how Justin Herbert became the Oregon quarterback.
Are you telling me that Oregon offered a player who'd been offered by another school previously and then landed that player? Gosh, how unusual.
Arizona fans
haven't
know
seen
about that.
Haven't seen that happen before.
Anyways, I digress.
Yep.
Oregon, I got them winning big.
Yep.
Next game, Oregon State paying a visit to UCLA in Westwood. Yes. Or not Westwood, technically Pasadena.
That's a Pac-12 network special right there.
Yeah, 6 p.m. on Pac-12 networks. You kind of have a feeling that UCLA is going to win this game, right?
Don't they have to? I mean, there's already a lot of heat on Chip Kelly. If you don't beat Oregon State at home, I mean, what are we doing here? He got a lot of criticism. It was interesting during the broadcast last week for not playing Dimitri Felton more, and was of course asked about it by LA Times reporter Ben Bolch, you know, after the fact, and said, well, you know, he plays the same position as Joshua Kelly, so Joshua Kelly's pretty good, so, you know, there's really only room for one player. And, you know, Ben was, and others maybe asked him, like, why couldn't he play slot receiver or something like that? And Chip Kelly said he doesn't practice there. So I don't know. I mean, we've talked, we've heard, how many times have we heard Kevin Sumlin say this season, we are going to get our best personnel on the field? UCLA somehow is Chip Kelly through, I don't know, arrogance, he's stubbornness, whatever the case, doesn't feel like he's getting his best personnel on the field. Wouldn't you think it would be harder to defend that team if Joshua Kelly and Dimitri Felton are on the field?
Absolutely.
Dimitri Felton's like 5'8", 185. He's perfect to play in the slot, running jet sweeps. You could put him in the backfield with Joshua Kelly. We've seen Arizona use a two-back set a bunch this year. I don't really get it, but regardless of all that, they definitely should beat Oregon State at home, you know, in front of a crowd of, you know, 25,000 or however many show up at the Rose Bowl.
I thought you were just going to say 25. Because you saw that game against San Diego State. That was sad.
Yeah, well, a day game. I think that was a day game. At least this isn't an evening game, so, you know, there won't be youth soccer interfering with people's plans, and the heat won't be a factor. But certainly not the marquee matchup of the week in the Pac-12 by any stretch.
I got UCLA winning. I don't think it's by a large margin.
More than 6.5?
Yes, I would say about 10.
By 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next game.
Last game.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Washington, number 15 in the country, taking on Stanford. Another Pac-12 After Dark special on national TV. Kickoff is set for 7:30 p.m. for that game on ESPN. I would like to think this is a trap game for Washington, but at the same time, I would not be surprised if the Huskies came down, play big boy football, because they're on a mission right now. They're trying to prove that they belong in the conversation as a representative for the conference in the college football playoff. I think they go out and dominate Stanford.
I'm going to agree with you. I know Stanford won last week, not convincingly, at Oregon State. They let Oregon State come back and tie that game late before winning it on a last-second jet toner field goal. KJ Costello not expected to play for Stanford. Backup Mills did a nice job last week on the road, which is impressive. But I don't know. I just don't feel like Stanford's on the same plane as Oregon, Utah, and Washington.
Does David Shaw get the benefit of the doubt because of injuries? Because I feel like Stanford has kind of hit a plateau with David Shaw.
I would say kind of, yeah. To a degree, I think he gets the benefit of the doubt because it's Stanford, and whatever they've been over the last 10 years or so wasn't what they were over the previous however many years. I mean, this hasn't been a dominant program. I mean, they never won when John Elway was there.
Yeah.
You know? So I think he gets the benefit of the doubt in that regard. I think he's very well liked. He's very well respected. He's a Stanford man through and through. Will be a little bit interesting when we start to get some openings to see if maybe he feels like things have plateaued at Stanford and maybe some other opportunity makes sense for him. You know, there were a lot of rumors about him going to the NFL a few years back and that sort of thing. But as far as this game goes, yeah, I'm with you. I think Washington is just better. And I think they've got the type of team that can win anywhere. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They've got an improving defense. USC played them tough last week. I give them a lot of credit. You know, they overcame pretty poor performance by their quarterback to keep that game close. But I like the Huskies in this one.
Same. What's the over-under in that game?
The over-under? It's pretty low. It's 51.5.
Okay.
Pretty low for college, anyway.
I think that'd be about right. I couldn't imagine Stanford scoring a bunch.
You think
this game?
The line is high. It's 16.5.
Yeah.
I would probably take Stanford. I'd probably take the points, but I think Washington will win, you know, something like 27-17.
Okay. All right. Now, the game that you're most excited about, because it's happening during the day, Michael Lev.
Yay.
Arizona, Colorado, kickoff set for 1:30 here in Tucson. The 2:30 over
2:30 Mountain. Yep.
You're loving that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about this game, Lev? Because Arizona, 3-1. Colorado, the other undefeated team left in the Pac-12 South. Both teams are a little bit banged up. You know, we don't know the quarterback situation. We don't know who's going to play between Grant Gunnell or Khalil Tate. We don't even know if J.J. Taylor is going to be back, although I will bet that he will come back. You look at Colorado as well. Laviska Shenault is another playmaker, probably their best player on the team, NFL caliber player. He's going to be playing on Sundays. And we don't know the status of him heading into this game. So it's kind of one of those games where we, I guess, just kind of have to guess who's going to play and who's not going to play.
Yeah. Like I said at the beginning, it's tough. I have more faith in this Arizona team and its ability to win on the road, but I don't quite trust them to do it yet. So I'm leaning toward Colorado in this one. I think one of the keys to the game to watch is the ability of Arizona's front to get pressure on Steven Montez. When Colorado won at Arizona State a couple weeks ago, the Sun Devils got no pressure on Steven Montez, and he was able to chuck the ball all over the yard. Arizona has to do to him what it did to Alan Bowman a couple weeks ago, and that is get him off his spot, make him move. Even if they don't get the sack, get pressure on him, force him to leave the pocket, make him uncomfortable. Like, Steven Montez is extremely talented. He's also inconsistent. Like, we've seen highs and lows from him throughout his career. He has all the measurables to be an NFL player, but he hasn't shown that on a regular basis. So, to me, that's, like, the big key defensively for the Wildcats. The uncertainty of quarterback, their track record on the road, all of those things just lead me to not quite trust them to pull this off. So I'm going with Colorado 33 and Arizona 27.
Arizona losing this game.
Yep.
Okay.
Look, if you told me today that Khalil Tate is 100%, he's going to be completely fine, not going to have any issues during the game, he's going to be able to run like he always can run, I probably would lean toward Arizona, but we just don't know that at this point.
Another thing that was impressive about Khalil Tate's game a couple years ago against Colorado, besides running for 327 yards, completed 12 of 13 passes.
Yeah, in two games against Colorado, he is 29 for 35.
Wow.
How about that? That's pretty good.
That's pretty good completion percentage. So if we're looking at history here, maybe Khalil Tate doesn't need to run all that much against Colorado. Maybe if his hamstring is 85% or 90%, maybe he doesn't need to do a lot of scrambling. And that's why I think Khalil Tate will throw for 285 yards and 2 to 3 touchdowns. And I'm going to give Arizona the win 28-20 or 28-21. It's going to be a score like that. I like Arizona's chances on the road.
Wow. All right. I like that you're going out on a limb a little bit here. I can respect that.
Should be fun.
Yeah, like I said earlier, we'll find out, you know, probably during pregame warmups what the situation is at quarterback, and that's going to dictate, you know, what type of offense Arizona runs and what type of defense Colorado has to play, because it's two totally different things with those two guys. And for that reason, I understand why Arizona is keeping it close to the vest all week long.
So Arizona, they have Colorado in Boulder. Kickoff is set for 1:30 p.m. down here in Tucson, 2:30 in Boulder. That guy, Michael Lev, he's going to be up in Boulder providing coverage of that game. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Michael J. Lev. And as always, follow the Wildcaster on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for coverage of the Arizona Wildcats. Download the Wildcaster app. It's free and available on the App Store and Google Play. And you can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcast. Arizona, Colorado, this Saturday at 1:30. For Justin, oh my goodness, for Lev, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.